For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Not to us, but to your name
be the glory. Yes! Thank you for joining us on Truth That Changes Lives. Pastor J.P. Jones is the senior pastor of Crossline Community Church in Laguna Hills, California, and a professor in biblical studies at Biola University. Today on Truth That Changes Lives, Pastor J.P. will be giving us a message from a series entitled Free. Let's listen in as J.P. gives us part one of the unconditional, unstoppable, and unbelievable love of God.
If you have your Bibles, would you open to Romans chapter 8? What is love? And how has love been demonstrated to us? We are wrapping up this series today in the book of Romans that we've been talking about freedom, looking at how God has a plan for us to live free, free in Christ, free from the law and free from sin, free from bondage, free from fear. And we've been talking about how God has set us free through a relationship with Jesus Christ, and the truest thing about us is what God says is true. And we come to the end of the book of Romans, and God wraps this section up with this powerful statement of love. Several weeks ago, we've been going through Romans in our staff Bible study at church, and we looked at Romans chapter 8, this section we're going to look at this morning. And I said, read the passage and just take a few moments and write down five observations on God's love. And so we just did some Bible study with one another, and we each wrote down our observations, and then we went around and shared our observations about God's love. And it was amazing how some of the things that we saw were similar, but it was almost without limitation the truths about the love of God. In fact, it is without imitation because God is infinite. His love is infinite. And we will spend the rest of our lives coming to understand and experience and receive the love of God. In fact, we will spend eternity coming to understand, receive, and experience the love of God. This is what it says in Romans 8, 28 to 39. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who've been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those He predestined, He also called. And those He called, He also justified. And those He justified, He also glorified. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is He that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life. He's at the right hand of God, and He also is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is an awesome passage about the unbelievable love of God. And this morning, what I am praying for myself, what I'm praying for you, is that we would open up our hearts to God's love. Wherever you might be in your spiritual journey, whatever's going on in your life and your family, whatever questions or fears or victories, whatever answered prayer or unanswered prayer you may be experiencing, this morning you would open up your heart to God's love. Because there is not an issue that any of us are facing that God's love isn't the answer to. Let me say that again. There's not an issue that any of us are facing that God's love is not the answer to. This past week I was talking with someone who was telling me about some of the struggles that they've been having in their life and some of the pain that they've carried over from their childhood. And they said, you know, I've just kind of responded to that by closing off my heart. And I realized I've closed my heart off to God and His love. You see, whether you're a follower of Jesus Christ or whether you are someone, you're here as a seeker or you're curious, you're interested to find out if Christ is the answer, any of us can close off our heart to God's love. And yet,
the greatest force, the greatest truth, the greatest blessing available to any of us is from the love of God. And so my prayer is that we would open up our hearts to whatever God would want to pour in by way of his love this morning. You see, the love of God is infinite, it's matchless, it's indescribable, and we could, even among ourselves, share and continue to share observations about God's love. But this morning, I want to share with you from my own look at this passage 10 things. Can you believe I can do it? I'm going to do it. 10 things you got to know about God's love for you. 10 things you just have to know. They will change your life. And if just one of them takes root, you'll be a different person because of it. Here's the first one. God's love is powerful. It's powerful. Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. All things aren't good, gang. A lot of things are bad. A lot of things are evil. A lot of things are terrible. A lot of things are tragic. This doesn't say all things are good. It says God causes, God works for the good in all things. Why? Because his love is so powerful, it can turn around the worst situation and make something good out of it. God's love is so powerful, it can penetrate any evil, any sin, any failure, any heartache, any tragedy, and make something good out of it. God's love is more powerful than any crisis you're facing. It's more powerful than any tragedy you're experiencing. It is more powerful than any heartbreak that you may be feeling. God's love is powerful. That's what the story of Joseph in the Bible is all about. Dino has a song about it, From Bad to Good. If you'd ask Joseph what his life was like, he'd say it's the pits. In fact, he'd say it's the pit, singular. He got thrown into a pit by his own brothers. Lost contact with his family. Betrayed, lied about, thrown into prison, thrown into jail. Yet God's love never was separated from him. And God's love found a way even in the midst of those terrible situations, and Joseph became the second most powerful person in all of Egypt. And as a result, was able to bless his family, be reunited to his family. And as a result of the position that he was put in, he was able to literally save the then known world because of the wisdom God gave him and the decisions that he made to set aside food in a time of famine. God's love made a way. It was more powerful than the betrayal of his brother. It was more powerful than the lies of Potiphar's wife. It was more powerful than prison. It was more powerful than anything Satan threw at him. And so Joseph could say, when he had this confrontation with his brothers years later, you know, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. God's love's powerful. Secondly, God's love is good. It's good. God's love is an expression of his own nature. And God is good. All things are not good, but God is good. His love is good. And he works for the good in our lives. God's love for you is good. God's plans for you are good. God's intention for you is good. God's heart for you is good. God's eternal purposes are good. God is good. Psalm 145 says this, "They will celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. The Lord upholds all those who fall. He lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand. You satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, loving toward all he's made. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desire of those who fear him. He hears their cry and he saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy." God is good. God's love is good. He's near. He's attentive to our prayer. He feels our heartache. He wants to show us tangibly, practically, personally, the goodness of his love. We sang in the opening worship set, "Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name." Every time I sing that song, I remember a very difficult season of my life, and Darren put a CD together for me, a worship CD. And I used to walk around Lake Santa Margarita and listen to that worship CD. And with tears coming down my eyes, praying and worshiping God, I would say, "Blessed be the name of the Lord, oh God. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Sometimes all you have left is to just hold on to the truth that God's good, because nothing else is working. But that truth is life-changing. God's love for you is good. So God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. His love is powerful, and His love is good, and His love is purposeful. Did you know that God has a purpose for your life? His love is purposeful. God sovereignly works towards an ultimate purpose. Now, we know when you take the step away in the larger theological view of the Bible, the ultimate purpose of God is His own glory. Everything God does is for His glory. But within that larger view, there is a specific purpose for you, for me, for each of us. And God's love expresses itself towards us, works in our lives, is available for us every day, energizes us towards a purpose. And this passage actually tells us what that purpose is. It says that we know that in all things God works for the good to those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. Next verse. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. The purpose of God for your life is to make you like Jesus. The purpose of God for your life is to make you like Jesus. You may be sitting here this morning and go, "Well, I'm not even a Christian. I'm a guest. I'm not even sure if I believe all this stuff." God has a purpose for your life. God loves you. God wants you in a relationship with Himself. God wants to bless you and work in your life. He wants to give you the assurance that your sins are forgiven, that heaven is yours, and He wants to begin a process within you to make you more and more like Jesus. You may be here this morning and feel like, "I don't feel very close to God." To be real honest, I've really been a failure as a Christian. I have not lived up to what I profess. God has a purpose for your life. God's love is purposeful. His love for you is to conform you to the image of His Son. In fact, that's the rationale behind working through all these circumstances. You know, a lot of us cling to Romans 8:28, you know, that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. And the good that God is working towards and the purpose that He's trying to fulfill is explained in the next verse. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. God wants to conform us to become more and more like Jesus. Friday after the end of TVBS, we had to clean up, and I was there for a couple hours helping the crew clean up, and we were putting the easy-ups in their cases. And we were laughing because you ever go on a camping trip? You ever get a tent out of its, you know, little bag, and you put the tent up and you're having a great time, and then you go fold the tent up and it's twice as big as the bag you pulled it out of? So what do you have to do? You got to push. Sometimes you have to stand on it. You got to squeeze all the air out of it. You got to roll it up really tight to stick it in there. God has an image of His Son, and guess what? When we go up against it, we don't fit it. So God has to push us, squeeze us, roll us up, get us all bound up tight so that He can conform us to the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. And it could be that the stuff that you're feeling right now that you don't like, that's hard, that's painful, that's frustrating, is God's work, because of His great love, His purposeful love, conforming you to the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. God's love is purposeful. He wants to make us more and more like Jesus. God's love is eternal. In fact, this passage says that those He foreknew, He also predestined that they might become the firstborn among many brethren. And those He predestined, these He also called. And those He called, these He also justified. And those He justified, these He also glorified. And those He glorified, these He also Kentucky fried. And I just kind of threw that in there. Think about what that's saying. Those are great theological words, but there's unbelievable meaning behind them, meaning that can transform our life and perspective right now. In eternity past, I mean, we're bound by time and space. I know that. But try to just, you know, think a little bit out of the box. Before time and space existed, because God is eternal, and somewhere in eternity past, God foreknew us. In love, He initiated a relationship towards us. Now, that love penetrated eternity into time and space, and He called us. And for those of us who've said yes to God's call, we crossed the line, we exercised faith in Jesus Christ, and we were justified, we were declared righteous. So He foreknew us, and He called us, and He justified us. And then it says, He's speaking in the present tense, but He's going into the past, He's going into the future. And then He says, and He has glorified us. Now He's stepping out of time and space again into the future, eternity, heaven. Here's the wild thing. Every one of these actions, these verbs that are described here, they are in what's called the perfect tense in Greek. They're describing a completed action. So from God's vantage point, it's already done. Say it again. It's done. It's already done. We were and have been foreknown, predestined, called, justified, and glorified. But I'm still alive yet. I haven't died yet. You know, it's kind of like the scene from Monty Python. I'm not dead yet, dude. Some of you will get that. But then I'm not dead yet. But you're already glorified. You're already glorified if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. And guess what? This is wild. You may not yet be a believer in Jesus Christ, but from God's vantage point, you're already glorified, because guess what? You're going to be. You mean God's bigger than me? Yes. And God's love, His love is purposeful and it's eternal. Those He foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son. And those He predestined, these He also called. And those He called, these He also justified. And those He justified, these He also glorified. God's love is eternal. And God's love is personal. Because it says in Romans 8, verse 31, what then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for me, who can be against me? God is for you. In other words, God's love is not just a generic love for the whole world, which it is. There is a love that God has for the whole world, but God loves you, and God loves me. God's love is personal. And the promise, the truest thing that this is saying here in Romans chapter 8, is that if God is for us, who can be against us? It's a rhetorical question. So the question rhetorically, if God is for us, who can be against us? The answer is no one.
What a great message for all of us today. Pastor JP provides us with great insight. That is why we'd like to make it available to you on CD. Just get in touch and mention today's date. We'll send it your way for just $5. Or if you'd like to support this ministry, you can write us at Truth That Changes Lives, 23331 Moulton Parkway, Laguna Hills, California, 92653. Or give us a call at 949-916-0250. That's 949-916-0250. For your gift of $25 or more, we will send you a signed copy of JP's new book, Facing Goliath. Please join us every Sunday at 9 or 11 a.m. at Crossline Church in Laguna Hills. The address is 23331 Moulton Parkway, Laguna Hills, California, 92653. Or check us out on the web at crosslinechurch.com. We're going to get to the address and phone number again in a moment. But before we do that, Pastor JP, do you have any insight from today's message?
Thanks, Greg. You know, the greatest force in the universe is the love of God. It's unconditional, unstoppable, and it's unbelievable. That's what Romans 8 says. Paul says in Romans chapter 8 that the love of God is sovereign, it's powerful, and it's life-changing. He says that we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. That's the way he introduces this section. And he closes out by saying, and our confidence is that nothing can separate us from the love of God. You see, sandwiched between God's intervention in every detail of our life and God's overall eternal kingdom program is His commitment of love towards us. God's love is personal. He loves me, and He loves you, and He loves every person. In fact, Jesus put it this way, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but should have everlasting life." That's the hope that is before you today, everlasting life through Jesus Christ. Why? Because God loves you. Right now, God wants you to know how much He loves you. He wants you to open up your heart to His love. And it's as simple as asking Jesus Christ to come into your life to be your Lord and Savior. If that's the desire of your life, then let the love of God, which is unstoppable, unconditional, and unbelievable, change your life. Would you pray right now? Lord Jesus, I want your love to fill my life. Forgive me of my sins. Make me a new person. Use your love to transform me from the inside out. I ask you to do this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We want to help you in your relationship with Christ. Please get in touch with us at Truth That Changes Lives, 233-31 Moulton Parkway, Laguna Hills, California, 92653. Or call us at 949-916-0250. On the internet, you will find us at crosslinechurch.com. We hope to see you at one of our services every Sunday at our new campus in Laguna Hills. For more information and directions, please go to crosslinechurch.com. Please join us next time on Truth That Changes Lives.
The cross before, the world behind, no turning back.